Fantastic. Well, look, it's lovely to have you all here today. And thanks so much for all of the hard work of the whole Holiday Club team. It's been brilliant to work with you this year. We're going to think for a few minutes, just 10 minutes or so, about the Bible passage that we had read a little while ago. So if people around the place have got Bibles, we've got Turquoise Church Bibles, page 972 is a place to turn. And that'll be really, really handy. Maybe you've got one on your phone or you can have a little look. And what we're going to see some really important things about Jesus. We're going to find out some amazing things about Jesus. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the King who can save us. What we're going to see from our true story from the Bible today, it's going to tell us about when someone great with a great problem met someone greater with a greater power. Okay, and I'm going to say that a few times today. When someone great with a great problem met someone greater with a greater power, okay? I'd like us all to say that together, but we need to do some actions as I say it. So when I say when someone great, stick out a thumbs up, okay? When someone great, after three, let's say it, one, two, three. When someone great, and then I'm going to say had a great problem, thumbs down. When someone great had a great problem, met someone greater, double thumbs up. Met someone greater with greater power. And then double fists like this. Yes, they've got greater power. Okay, so when someone great had a great problem, met someone greater with greater power. Okay, that's what we're going to see. Okay, and the someone great in our story was the centurion. He was someone great. Thumbs up. When you see it on the screen, stick your thumb up. Someone great. He was a Roman soldier. I've got a few props hidden behind here. Let me see whether I can find something for me. Here we are. He was a Roman soldier, and he had his shield on, and he was a powerful man. He was one of the most powerful people you could meet. And whatever he said happened. I wonder, have you ever played Centurion Says? It's a really popular game about 2,000 years ago. Centurion Says. If I say, stand up, no one's standing up. But if I say, Centurion says stand up, then up we go. Centurion says stand up. So what Centurion says, he does. Now keep standing up because Centurion hasn't said anything else. Centurion says march to the left. Centurion says march to the right. Centurion says march to the front. Stop marching. Centurion says stop marching. Centurion, sit down. Centurion says tap your head. Centurion says stop tapping your head. Centurion says shake your hands. Stop shaking your hands. Centurion says stop shaking your hands. There you go. He was the most powerful person you can meet. Whenever you meet a centurion in the Bible times, they always win at Centurion Says. They're so powerful. He was someone great. In a Bible passage, it said, he said, go and people went. He said, come and people came. Cup of tea, white, two sugars. And suddenly a cup of tea, white, two sugars appears in his hand because people serve him all the time. He was someone great with a great problem. Thumbs down. He was someone great with a great problem. There was one thing that he couldn't control. He couldn't control other people's health. Now, he had a servant. Now, I need a volunteer to be my servant. So, can I have a servant? Yeah, hand went up. Come on up here. Can you come up the stairs, please? Now, don't worry. You're not going to get pied in the face. It's okay. But what you need, why don't you stand over here? What's your name?
Teo,
you stand over there, Teo. You need some crutches, okay? Because the centurion, now these are a bit big for you, but you're not going to even use these, so you need to just lie down on the ground. Okay, Teo, just lie down. There we are. Easy volunteer. There are your crutches, Teo. So centurion had a servant who just lay down on the ground. Now, what's the use of a centurion who lays down on the ground? Because the servant suffered terribly. He was terribly, terribly sick, like Teo is here. So, centurion says, nod your head. Centurion says, stop nodding your head. Centurion says, say hello to the person next to you. Centurion says, quiet. Servant, stand up. Centurion says, servant, stand up. Centurion says, servant, stand up. Centurion says, servant, stand up. He kept saying, And the servant could not stand up because there was one thing the centurion could not control, was someone else's health, his own health. You know, try as he might, he could not make the man stand up. You know, sometimes just because someone is really great at something doesn't mean that we can solve everything that you throw at us. You might be the fastest runner in the world. You might be the highest jumper in the world. You might be the cleverest person in the world here today. You might be the richest person in the world. You might be the most powerful soldier in the world. But the Bible tells us that we all have something, a problem, a great problem we can't fix. Like the centurion in our story. Now, in our story, the centurion's problem, he had a servant who he could not heal. He would say, servant, get up. But the servant wouldn't get up. We've got something even worse with us. And that's the Bible says that we have hearts that are terribly sick with something called sin. You see, God made us to know him and to love him and to have a relationship with him. But actually, we turn away from God and we don't want to do what he tells us to do. In fact, it's like we're lying down. And we're paralyzed as far as God is concerned. We can't do anything. We can't fix ourselves. We can't fix other people. We are terribly sick. But the true story from the Bible that we've seen is there was someone great, thumbs out, with a great problem, but who met someone greater, double thumbs up. Now, this is the amazing thing, because the centurion met Jesus. And who is Jesus? Jesus is the King who can save us. I love it the way our passage says it in our Bible passage. It says this in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? If I was a centurion, I'd be thinking to myself, like, of course, Jesus, that's exactly what I want you to do. Come and heal. Now, I need another volunteer to play the role of Jesus. So who can come? Can you come up? You can shut your hand up brilliantly. Come up this side, please. And don't worry, there's no pies going in your face either. That's absolutely fine. So now tell me, what's your name?
Isabel.
Isabel. Thank you, Isabel. Now, you can come and stand over here. Now, the centurion knew that Jesus is so powerful that Jesus doesn't even need to go over to the house where the paralyzed man was lying. He could just heal the servant at his word. And the centurion knows that Jesus is such a powerful person. He's God who's come to live on earth with us. Which actually makes a centurion think something else. Did you see in our passage again? Have a little look down. It says verse 8. When Jesus says, shall I come and heal the man? The centurion replies, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. In other words, the centurion is with Jesus and the man is a long way away. And the centurion says, I'm so sinful. I've done so many things that are wrong. Jesus, you could never come and live in my house and come to my house. I don't deserve it. He may be really, really powerful. White, two sugars in my tea and a white, two sugars comes. He always wins, at centurion says. But yet in our passage, he calls Jesus Lord. He says to this man, Lord. And in the Bible, the word Lord could mean a master, because he recognized, who is Jesus? Jesus is the King who can save us. So you're going to play the role of Jesus over here. So let me find over here. Now you need to have the king, because even though I'm a centurion, you're going to put the crown on your head, because the centurion realized here was someone even more powerful than himself. He recognized Jesus was the king who could save us. And he says, I'm not even worthy for you to come into my house to come and fix my big problem. That's really, really important for us to know, boys and girls and mums and dads and carers, because sometimes we think if we're really clever, or if we work really, really hard, or if we come to Holiday Bible Club, or come to church, or we say our prayers, or we learn our memory verse, then we can earn Jesus to come into our house. And we can kind of prove that we're going to be a really good person. And then Jesus will love us. But actually the centurion knows better than that, because he knows no memory verses that he could learn. No amount of going to church, no trying harder will get Jesus to come into his house. He says, you don't deserve to come into my house. I've done nothing to earn it. But yet, our passage shows that Jesus is so powerful that he has come to help people who know they don't deserve it. And then I love the way our passage closes. Have a look right at the end. It says, verse 13, Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that moment. So how does our story conclude? We've seen someone great, thumbs up, had a great problem, thumbs down, met someone greater, double thumbs up, with a greater power. That's great. So without even going to the centurion's house, Jesus healed the servant. So we're going to try this out, Isabel. So I'm going to say to this servant over here, get up. No joy. Centurion says, get up. No joy. Now, Jesus says, get up to that.
Get up.
I'm beginning. Fantastic. You don't need... Well done. Have a go, Theo. Fantastic. Come over here. Why don't you have a seat, Theo? Thank you, Isabel. You can have a seat. When Jesus says, get up, the servant... Thank you very much. We'll put the crown over here. That's great. When Jesus says, get up, happens straight away. He has the power to raise a servant girl, a servant boy, whoever he was, a long, long way away. And do you know what? That tells us that Jesus has the power to change us, to change our hearts, even when we're not in the same room as him. Because sometimes, I don't know about you, but I think to myself, if only I could see Jesus face to face and I could touch him and hold his hand. But Jesus doesn't even need to touch you and hold your hand to change your heart. He can be the other side of town. He can be 2,000 years ago and reach out through history and touch our hearts and change us. Because he is someone with greater power. Now, do you remember how in our Bible passage, Jesus describes a centurion? He describes him in a certain kind of way. He says, you're such a... He doesn't say he's such a great leader, such a great warrior, such a great speaker, such a great athlete. No, this is what he says. In our little passage, he says, right down in verse 10, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. You see, the centurion saw Jesus and he knew, here is someone who can fix my biggest need. And the same is true today, boys and girls, mums and dads and carers. You see, the Bible tells us that we all have turned our back on God and we've got that sickness of sin in our hearts. And yet when Jesus, having lived a perfect life, he eventually grew up and went to die on the cross for us. We've sung lots of songs about that today. And he died on the cross in place of all who would trust in him. And then he burst through the grave 3 days later because Jesus is the King who will save us. And if we trust in him and we say, Lord Jesus, I don't deserve you to save me. I don't deserve you to rescue me and help me. But I look to you and I trust in you that when you died on the cross, you died for me. Then we can be saved. Let me try and illustrate that with a chair. You saw that board up here. Here's a chair. I can see that chair and I can say, I think that will hold my weight. I think it will hold my weight. I think it's pretty tough. Derby's brought me this chair. I don't think it's a kind of a setup. I think that will work. I think I'll trust it to hold my weight. And then I actually sit down and it's bearing my weight. I'm trusting it and I'm showing that I'm trusting it. You know, boys and girls, even when you're really, really little, you can trust in Jesus. You can say, I can see, here's Jesus, someone who can carry me through all of life, all the wrong things I do. I can trust him that he'll hold me and look after me. All the wrong things I've done, he'll carry them all when he dies on the cross. And then you can not only just see that he could do it, you can trust him. You say, Lord Jesus, I'm trusting that you died for me and that you rose again so that I can have a brand new life. He is such a powerful king because we have seen today, haven't we, a great person with a great problem met an even greater person who had greater power. And he's the one that we can pray to now. So let's bow our heads and pray. I'm going to say a short prayer, then we're going to sing a song of God's amazing grace to us. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you are the greatest and that whatever we face and ultimately our sins in our hearts that we can do nothing about, you have come to save. Help us to trust in what you have done and follow you every day. In Jesus' name, amen.